Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night, and very happy to have a special guest for all the folks who think that this program somehow has something to do with nostalgia. They hear the name of the show, Dave's Gone By, and they think of Days Gone By, and I think that's where we're at. It's all about nostalgic stuff. And it really isn't, although since this show is about every sort of thing, sometimes it can be. So we're very excited, very happy. Like a week ago, we had the actor-director Robbie Benson on the program, and now we have another person whom everybody is going to know from watching their TVs and also, I guess, from going to the theater if you went back 20, 30 years or so. His name is Dick Van Patten. Of course you know him. You know him from Egg Is Enough, and I can't thank you enough for being on Dave's Gone By tonight. How are you, Dick?
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm fine, thank you.
Good, 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 good. I mean, you've been well. Things have been healthy. You've been working.
Yes. Yeah, never stop working. Got to work.
Well, pretty much, yeah. I mean, you were working since the age of 7. Is that correct?
The first Broadway show I was in, mm-hmm. I was 7 years old. It was called Tapestry in Gray at the Schubert Theater on 44th Street. And I played Melvin Douglas' son. You remember Melvin Douglas?
Melvin Douglas from Being There. People might know him from that movie more than anything else. But yeah. Now, did you, when you were 7, do you even have any memories of appearing in that show?
I remember very well, yes, I remember. But when I meet 7-year-old kids today, I can't believe that I did what I did at that age. It really amazes me. I did 27 shows in a row on Broadway.
Oh, my God.
Growing up. Yeah.
And back then you were known as Dickie Van Patten, Little Dickie Van Patten. That was your
Dickie Van Patten. Mm-hmm.
So did you do 8 shows a week back then, or did they split with another kid?
No, 8 shows a week. 2 matinees and 6 evening performances.
How did you get schooled?
Well, I went to a school called Professional Children's School.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of kid actors went there. Milton Berle went there. You know, mm-hmm. Milton Berle was a child actor. He went there. And a lot of famous people went there. And they excused you. If you had a matinee or an audition, they excused you. Or if you went on the road with the show, you did your work by correspondence. And it was good. It worked out okay.
Well, yeah, it worked out great for you. But did you ever feel, I mean, now we see all these celebrity actresses who can't seem to handle a lot of money and a little bit of fame. And, you know, because I guess they're always working and they don't have time to themselves or life to themselves. I can't imagine with you having to do full 8 performances a week of Broadway shows, one after the other, and a full complement of schoolwork. I mean, did you ever feel like going crazy, or was it all just...
No.
You know, no.
I had wonderful parents, you know.
Yeah.
And they always told me, you're only as cute as the show, you're only as popular as the show that you're in, and you're only as cute... you know, so the show's over. So that's what they used to tell me. So I never expected too much. It was a wonderful childhood.
I
traveled all over the world, all over the country. I worked with the most fascinating people.
I'm kind of curious, especially, again, moving back to the child years of being 7 and 10 and 14 and appearing one after another in these shows. Was it tough when a show would close? Or to you, you weren't really part of that where all the adults are worried about their next job and they're crying and they're saying goodbye. Sorry?
One show closed, I would go right into another. It was amazing. I spent my whole childhood working. I was never out of work for more than like 2 or 3 weeks at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what happened when, I guess, you hit a certain age and your voice changed and you got bigger? I mean, there's, according to the Internet Broadway database, you did a show called Oh, Mistress Mine back in 1947.
That was for 4 years. I was with Lawton Fontaine. I played Lawton Fontaine's son. And I got it when I was 16, 17, 18, and 19. 2 years on Broadway and 2 years on the road.
What were they like?
4 years.
What were Lawton Fontaine? Yeah, how? How were they wonderful?
Well, they were like parents to me. I learned a lot from them, too. I really did.
Great
experience.
What did you learn from them?
Well, I learned not to overact, to always be on time, and a great discipline from them, you know?
Good. Cool. But then what happened, because they said that there was almost a 15-year gap before you got back to Broadway again, apparently, with Have I Got a Girl for You?
Here's what happened.
Yeah.
Television came along in 1949, and I went right into a TV series called I Remember Mama.
Oh.
That was on for 9 years, and I played the part of Nels, the son Nels, you know.
Wow. Now, what did you think after doing all that theater? How did television compare for you back then?
Well, it was easier, I think.
Hmm.
Although you had to learn new lines every week. But other than that, I think it was easier.
Cool.
I loved it.
And as you said, you did I Remember Mama for about 9 years. And
from
then...
1949 to 1958.
Wow.
Starring Peggy Wood. And a lot of your listeners, the older ones, will remember this show very well.
Oh, sure. And I'm sure it's somewhere it's popping up on some cable nostalgia channel as well. They always do at this point.
Well, I don't think so, because that was a live show.
Oh.
That live every Friday night. So I don't think they had it. I don't think you'll see that anymore.
Huh.
You know?
Was it really, I mean, people tend to wax nostalgic for those who were there back then of the 1950s being the golden age of television. Was it? Or are they just rose-colored glasses?
Well, I loved it. I mean, all the TV was from New York then, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I was on I Remember Mama was the top show on CBS. It was ahead of Arthur Godfrey, ahead of Ed Sullivan. It was the number one show on the air for CBS.
Wow.
And so it was really fun. And they got a lot of recognition. You know, people knew me and everything. They knew me as Nels, you know, the character I played.
Right, everybody would see all the taxi drivers would honk and, oh, Nels!
Yes!
Yeah!
You're so right. And it's so true.
Were you able to have a normal life, though? Do you think?
Did I have a normal? Yes, I think so. I didn't miss out on anything. I had a lot of fun. I really didn't.
Well, what happened after I Remember Mama? After that almost 10-year
stint? That was on for 9 years.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then that went off the air in 58. And while that was on, I did Mr. Roberts. I did The Male Animal. I was also in Broadway shows while I was doing I Remember Mama, you know.
Wow. Yeah, I guess maybe during the summer breaks and all that, you can do some shows.
Yeah. And that went off the air in 1958.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did some shows. But then I came out to California in 1970, and I did 7 TV series out here. I did every TV show there is to do.
Whoa. Do you remember some of them? I'm blanking. I mean, except obviously for 8 is Enough. But what were some of the others that you did that were series?
I did Love American Style.
Oh.
I Dream of Jeannie. Love Boat. I did every TV series there was.
Wow. So who are some of the great people? You mentioned that you worked with extraordinary and amazing people. Who were some of the folks that really made an impression on you?
On TV, I worked with Don Adams. Peggy Wood was the star of I Remember Mama.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with Lutton Fontan, you know.
Right.
We spoke of before. And, I worked with a lot of people that weren't famous, and they became famous after I worked with them.
Oh, such as?
Kirk Douglas, Jack Lemmon. Jack Lemmon played a bit part in I Remember Mama. And so did Jimmy Dean. And, amazing. They all became superstars.
Now, did you see that? In them, like when you worked with Lemon, the week that you worked with Jimmy Dean, did you say to yourself, yeah, they're going to be so-and-so, or were they just another actor, a good actor?
I just thought they were other actors. They were very good at their part. But I didn't think they were going to become the big stars they became, you know, although they were very good.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with Monty Clift before he became a star.
Montgomery Clift?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Tallulah Bankhead, Frederick March.
Oh, well, come on. You have to tell me some stories about these people. You have to give us some anecdotes about what they were like, what they said to you, what you heard they did, something. Tell.
Well, in Tallulah Bankhead's book, she says, I never liked child actors. The only child actor I ever liked was Dickie Van Patten because he could read the racing form.
That's great. That's marvelous.
Frederick March was very nice to me. I was in 2 plays with him,
uh-huh.
The American Way and The Skin of Our Teeth.
Whoa.
Very nice.
You were in the original production of The Skin of Our Teeth, the Thornton Wilder play.
That's right. It was the first play Elia Kazan ever directed. And It almost didn't get into New York. It was a big flop out of town. They didn't like it. They didn't like it in Baltimore or Washington, D.C. or New Haven or Philadelphia. And it got to New York and it got the Pulitzer Prize. Funny, the difference between New York audiences.
Oh, yeah.
Out of town.
Well, it's a strange play, though. I mean, I've never really been that taken with it.
Yeah.
I love Our Town. Our Town is one of the great plays ever. But,
yeah.
You know, I think he was reaching a little bit. But the New York audiences warmed to it. I guess as soon as it won the award, the audiences just said, oh, okay, it must be great.
Moby Dick. Ulysses. War and Peace. The Bible. Big freaking deal. If you want to read a real book, a funny book, try Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, a collection of comedies by Dave Lefkowitz, me, the host of Dave's Gone By. Each play is stage-tested and relatively safe for public consumption. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, available from Holdo Books on the Dave's Gone By website. It's the great American something.
Hi, this is Dick Van Patten. And you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
We're talking with Dick Van Patten, the one and only from Eight Is Enough. So let's talk a little bit about your years on that show, since it's the one that you're most known for, that you're most recognized for. Do you remember how you got that part?
What, you want Eight Is Enough, you mean?
Uh-huh.
Which one?
Eight Is Enough.
Oh, well, I came out from New York in 1970. I came out here with a play. Elaine May wrote and directed a play called Adaptations Next. And then when it closed on Broadway, she sent me out here with it. And then when I was out here, I got offered some jobs. I've never gone back to New York. I sold my house back there. And I just did a whole bunch of series out here. I did the show called Arnie with Herschel Bernardi.
Oh.
I did another series called The Partners with Don Adams.
Oh, I remember that. You know, I was a little kid. And
yeah.
I like Get Smart, of course, and then that was his thing
Get
Smart. And I suddenly he had
great.
A black partner, and I liked it. It was on for about 3 weeks,
that.
And it was gone,
Rupert,
yes.
His name was Rupert Corse. That's right. You remember? You're the only person I ever met that remembers that.
Well, yeah. I watched a lot of TV back then.
Yeah.
I liked it.
And then I did the new Dick Van Dyke show. I played Dick Van Dyke's boss.
Oh.
And then they put me in two pilots. One was called The Love Boat in 1975, and at the same month, they put me in Eight Is Enough pilot. Well, both pilots sold, and now ABC didn't know which one to keep me in. So I didn't care. I was just happy that, you know, I had a job, and they put me in Eight Is Enough. And then they recast somebody else in Love Boat.
Love Boat, which part were you playing?
I was the doctor, Bernie
Capel. Oh, Bernie Capel.
I'm the player, yeah.
6 Degrees of Get Smart, actually, in a weird way.
He was also, he played Sigmund, and guess what?
Yeah, Siegfried, the evil,
right.
Schmott!
Right.
So, again, so then you got into Eight Is Enough, and did you realize, like, was that a hit instantly, or did it take a while to build and the network just stayed with it?
With Eight Is Enough?
Yeah.
No, I didn't think it was a hit immediately. First of all, we started with a woman called Diana Hyland. She played my wife, and she died after the third show.
Ooh.
I thought that was going to be the end of the show. I thought they were going to cancel it. But instead, they wrote it into the show. They had me meet the new wife. I married her. I can't think of her name. That was that awful. The one that played Abby.
Betty Buckley.
Buckley, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, that awful. Anyway, she was very good. And the show was a big hit. So I was happily surprised.
Wow, yeah. And again, now instead of
Betty Buckley, isn't that awful?
Of course, well, I'm sure if you take 10 seconds, of course you remember. I mean, she's as big a star as anybody to come out of that show, of course. But now you have people, I'm sure, coming, talking out of restaurants or the cab drivers saying instead of Nels, they would call you, of course, by that. Did that ever get tiring? Did you ever, like, I wish I wouldn't be recognized. I wish I could just, you know.
No, I don't mind it. It goes with the game, you know, it goes with the job. It doesn't bother me.
Huh. So, you've been still working, even past I imagine you wouldn't have to work anymore unless you really wanted to. So, what have you been doing the past few years?
I just got through doing a movie. I just got through last week. A new movie, it'll be out in about 5 months. called Operation Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Called Operation Kids. Renee Taylor, what's his name?
Joe Bologna, her husband?
Joe Bologna's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Renee Taylor and, Paulie Shore.
Oh.
He's in it, too.
Okay.
And me. And it's a funny picture. It's very good. I think it's going to do very well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And I guess now you're at the point where you can pick and choose. I mean, you don't take everything that comes along. What makes you choose to do something?
Well, no, I like to work, you know.
Good.
I'm not that picky. If I get a job, I take it. My mother told me when I was a kid, don't ever turn a job down. So I don't.
So the one thing is, I mean, thank God you sound good, you're healthy, but you have been living with diabetes for a while.
Yes.
Has that taken...
diabetes type 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, boy, it's a pain in the neck. Because I love sweets, and I can't eat sweets anymore.
Oh. Well, don't they make enough stuff with NutraSweet and stuff like that, or is that even off the table?
Yeah, they have some stuff like that. It's not quite as good, though.
No.
I'd like to have a nice hot fudge sundae.
Well. Do you have to take shots every day, or how invasive is that in your life?
The diabetes type 2, you don't have to take the shots. It's not quite that bad.
Well, that's a big deal. That's good. So you're living with it, and it's a totally controllable thing, which is neat.
Right, uh-huh.
And also, by my estimation, you've been married more than 50
years.
How long?
53 years.
Mazel.
Do you remember the Jackie Gleason show?
Uh-huh.
The June Taylor, one of the June Taylor dancers.
Wow. How did you know she was the one? How did you realize, that's the girl?
I was rehearsing in the show, I remember, Mama. We used to rehearse from 10 to 1. And then at 1 o'clock, Jackie Gleason would come in with the June Taylor dancer. So as I was going out, she was coming in. I saw her. I thought, gee, she's so pretty. So I started to talk to her, and one thing led to another.
And wow. And another and another, and 50 years later, 53 years later. I guess the wisest thing to ask you is not so much acting advice, but marriage advice. Do you have advice for people who want to keep their marriage going for 5 decades?
Well, I think there's a lot of luck involved, and I think you have to have a good sense of humor. And between the luck and the sense of humor, it'll work, you know?
That's great. That's cool. And how is your sister doing, by the way, Joyce Van Patten?
Joyce, that's my sister, yeah. She just got through doing a play up in the Birches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was doing a famous old-time play. I forget which one now.
Okay.
But anyway, she's back in New York. She gets more work in New York than she does out here. But she's been in the last 4 Neil Simon plays. He always uses her.
Oh.
He likes her a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Now, pardon me. Do you see yourself ever doing live theater again? Or is it all...
Oh, sure.
Really?
Oh, I was out last year for a year doing Sunshine Boys.
With whom?
Me and Frank Gorshin.
Ah.
We were out for a year, then he passed away.
Right.
Yeah,
my God.
Yeah, very good.
Now, how was he to work with? I mean, everybody sort of gets the feeling, did he do impressions backstage, or was he just real quiet? And what was he like?
Oh, he was very, very good. And he used to do his impressions for me, because I was a big fan of his. He was the best impressionist that ever lived.
Oh, wow. Now, do you feel that your acting style has changed over the years? I'm not saying like when you were a kid, but are you still, do you think, doing the same kind of stuff you were doing 30, 40 years ago, or has it morphed in some way?
I don't think it's changed much. I really don't. I think I'm doing the same thing, just reacting the way people would, the way people would react in real life. About the same to me, anyway.
Well, you've obviously done it really, really well, and it's worked great for you for so many decades, and I want to thank you so much, by the way, for appearing on the show.
Very nice talking to you.
You too. You too, and best of luck and best wishes to you.
Okay, hope I see you sometime.
You got it.